of God in our lives, directly called by God, who is going to be able to unlock the truth and the truth of God, the truth of God. Alright, so, what else happens? Is it angels coming? The wise men. Yes, that's right. The wise men saw the star. You know, I think it's really appropriate that there was a star, a special star in the skies for Jesus, because God created the whole world, didn't he? Alright? And I think the whole world would just rejoice at wanting to acknowledge its creator and putting a star in the sky. Right, to acknowledge there was something special happening. And the three wise men, or we talk about them being three wise men, don't we? The wise men, they were people who studied stars and what happens and how the stars move and things in the skies, and they noticed there was something, a new thing that happened. And so they were keen to find out what was happening. So they followed that star, and that led them right to the Bethlehem eventually, didn't they? First of all, they had to go to Herod, and he had his wise men go through the books, the Old Testament books, to find out where this saviour or king was going to be born. So the star led them to the right country, like we followed the Southern Cross when we want to know which way is north or south. Don't we? Well, they followed the star, and then they got the exact information from the old scriptures. So where do we put that? Where should we put the star? Do you think you can reach up there? Put it on? You can have a go, right? And, well, now it's doing that, where was another time about angels in the announcing Jesus' birth? There's some guys on the side of the hill. Outside at night, what were they doing? The shepherds. Remember that? They were looking after their sheep.
Grab a chair.
On the side of the hill at night. Is it not going to fit very well? Right, so those shepherds were just minding their own business there. That's bad. the shepherds were there, and all of a sudden there was an angel appear before them, and he said, there's a special person being born in Bethlehem, and he's going to bring peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And then all of a sudden the whole horizon was filled with the heavenly host, and there'd be lots more angels, and they were singing glory to God and praising Him for what was about to happen. So, now, Lord, when you go up Sunday school this morning, you guys are going to be going to make some angels and some stars, and also I think you've been painting up some little decorations and things to give people next week. So, as you do that, you can remember that the purpose of angels, they announced God's messengers to us, and they announced the birth of Christ, and that He was going to bring peace on earth to all people. So if you want to put an angel up on the tree, and have your song. And next week, we'll decorate the tree a bit more, and if you've made angels out there, you can bring them in at the end of the service and put them on the tree. There's like that next week. Well, right, so this is
seemed a bit unfair.
Maybe we'll check the one.
The one trust the Lord, one
of the godliness and love to hear God's word. Pray that you grow up, that's how you will be, standing over Jesus like a Christmas tree. Show up, let your faith grow by hope,
everyone. Shining star,
spotted by the wise men who traveled from afar.
Jesus, they worship in the night.
Let your worship go,
Jesus,
shine like Mary.
Amazing grace,
the blood of Jesus, Jesus
suffered in our place.
Why forgiveness of
Jesus rose again.
You can tell your praise in gospel with a candy
cane.
Oh, let your faith grow,
ho, ho. Everyone with praise,
God
in goodness, in so many ways,
every way,
the days,
give your life to Jesus as a Christmas gift.
Show up, oh,
let your faith grow,
oh, oh,
everyone will know.
Everybody, can you all hear me without the mic? All right. All right. I've got quite a loud voice, so we'll see how I go. Is it on? Okay. I'd like to share aspect two of the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Something that's been on my heart for many weeks, and probably pretty coincidental because Jim spoke in the children's talk last week, and he's spoken in the talk this week as well. But this was really illuminated in the first lesson that we've been studying in the indwelling life of Christ, which Ross has been facilitating to us over these many weeks. It's a 9-week course, so if you get time over the holidays, go online and check it out because it's great. And so thanks, Ross, for your IT. You do a great job. But it's had quite an impact on me. And I had never focused or thought about the other tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, as Jim's been talking about, and it was termed that this was a God-dependent tree. My only focus had ever been on the tree of good and evil, which was partaken of and termed, when we were learning in this lesson, the self-sufficient tree. When I heard that self-sufficient, I went, wow, self-sufficient. A light went on, and I thought, Lord, that's me to a T. Self-sufficiency spills over into all areas of my life. It's my job. It's what I do. I do a lot of self-sufficiency. I provide for my family. And it filters through into lots of other areas too. And you may say, well, what's that got to do with our worship this morning? But that same self-sufficiency that was imprinted on my DNA since the fall affects us all, doesn't it? It's what I'm up against, and it's also what the Lord is up against as well, I guess. In our worship song this morning, the first one that I hope to be able to do is Indescribable, and it says in it, he sees the depth of my heart and he loves me the same. And it kind of says it all through that perspective. He sees my self-sufficient, prideful, hard-hearted, critical, judgmental heart, my heart, but he loves me the same. And yeah, he is really amazing. So let's just pray before we'll start with singing Indescribable. Lord, I'm sorry for that very aspect in my life of self-sufficiency and in human nature now since the fall. You are indeed the great gardener, and my prayer is that you intensify more of the grafting of your wonderful God-dependent tree, and so less of the self-sufficient tree is left remaining. So as you are grafting in that to us, Lord, that it becomes just like the air we breathe, that your wonderful holy presence is alive and so vital in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that you would keep a barometer checkup. And Lord, I know that I do fall short, but thank you that you love me and that you are at work. Amen.
From the highest heights to the depths of the sea, creations reveal your majesty. From the colors of autumn to fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings. All is plain, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. And all powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly roll.
Oh, Lord Jesus, you are incomparable. Lord, we look at the vastness and the beauty of nature that just pales into insignificance beside you, Lord. And Lord, then we parallel ourselves, our human frailties, Lord, beside that. But you just love us, Lord. You love us and you care for us. And Lord, thank you for the tree of life. And thank you, Lord, for that other tree, that tree that you were crucified on, Father. That was a bridge back to you, Heavenly Father, a way back to you. So, Lord, so that we can become just like that song, the very air that we breathe. And as Jim was talking about in the Garden of Eden, Lord, that you breathed into those two, Adam and Eve. Lord, that you would breathe daily into each one of us and become that close. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This play is taken from the straight from scripture, from the Message. It's based on Jesus sitting down with this grubby, smelly fisherman, or very unrelaxed and just don't know. They've changed their whole lives and they're following Jesus, and they're just sitting down, and it's through the Sermon of the Mount. That's pretty much from the Message. I'm Peter. This is Jesus, obviously. This is John. Jesus, this teaching you've given us on the Mount is so different from all the formalised and hoo-hums and structured teaching we get at home and at church on how to obey the law. You teach how we can trust and depend on God. It sounds so personal and individual. It doesn't sound like the cold and harsh stuff that I've grown up with. How do we then pray?
Don't turn your prayers, among others, into a theatrical production. Those prayers sound like prayer warriors, but are prayer ignorant. Do you think God sits in a box?
Do you mean that they sound important and they use lots of words, but that's not what God wants?
Yes, they have formulas, programs, and give advice when they pray. But don't fall for that nonsense.
So what should we do when we pray then?
Find a quiet, secluded spot. I've lost my place. So you can't role play in front of others.
Okay. So we find a quiet spot, we don't role play, but what should we do and say then?
Stay quiet and be there simply and honestly as you can manage. Remember, this is your Father you are being with. You will find your focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His Father's grace and love.
But what do we say?
Our Father in heaven.
Our?
Yes, our Father, yours and mine.
But Jesus, we're only smelly, ignorant fishermen. Are we really able to call Him Father? Is He really our Father, yours and mine?
In your praying, remember that this is your Father you are talking to and dealing with, and He knows you better than you, what you need. With a God who loves you like a loving Father, you can pray very simply, Our Father in heaven.
Let's pray, all of us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
They're made by a father not made by an impartial being. They're made by a Father God who knows how important all those things to be interwoven. Our social behaviours. When I travelled to Europe, I know all about that. I know that. But one of the things that struck me in Europe, and when I travelled to Australia time and time again, is so obvious that everywhere I go, there's a principal relationship. There's a husband and wife everywhere. People fall in love everywhere. Husbands and wives are formed everywhere. The first relationship that God created was for Adam and Eve. He created that intimacy. He created that marriage. And it's a relationship that has continued to be the core of our society. And God created it. He knew what we needed in a social being. He knew we needed companionship and intimacy. And it's throughout the world. There's no change. Whatever your culture, whatever your ethnicity, everything is based on this core relationship that's been established by God. Our social nature. Our Father created within us a vacuum for a relationship with the heavenly creator. And quite a few years ago, I read a book that was written by somebody who was trying to dispel, you know, what this void was. And so what they did was went throughout all the different cultures in the world to actually find out whether they all had the spiritual void. They all did. Every culture that they came across had a spiritual vacuum. And how they all had filled it were they had created a supreme God. And they all had a supreme God. They didn't always relate to him because he was too far away and too separate. And sometimes there's always gods and rituals in between. But every culture in the world had a supreme God and had a void that said, you need to have a relationship with him. So for some of them, they set it out and they set out sacrifices, they set out laws, they set some rituals. What about our religion? What's the core of our religion? We can call him Father in our religion. He isn't out there. He is our Father. He is that personal for us. He is our Father. So we have a Father who knows us intimately. And that song that Ben chose this morning, I was just hit by him when he said, you know my heart, you know the core of who I am, there's nothing hidden from you. And if you think you can hide anything from God, you've got to be joking. He, don't do it. Don't even waste the time. Why would you? Because he does know you. He created you. He knows your inner patterns. He knows everything that's happening within you all the time. But he doesn't want to be out there. He wants us to call him Father. He created us. He created the universe. And then he had to stand by and watch the rebellion and the chaos caused by humans deciding they didn't need a heavenly father. They wanted this independence, this good and evil. I can be who I am. I don't want a dad. Why should I have a dad controlling me or abiding by me? You know how stupid they were, really, how stupid we all are. Because basically, him being a father is really the way to go. So, throughout the Old Testament, we've got our Father kind and pining to get back to us, wanting the relationship with us, but because we were so broken down by our disobedience. So rules were set in place, so that at least could be communication between us and his wayward children. And then what happened? The most wonderful thing, wasn't it? You know, never get over Christmas. We can't get over Christmas, because God created the situation again, the Father created the situation again. You know, don't ever, 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 ever forget that it's about Jesus. Jesus is the only difference between the rest of the world and the relationship with God. Jesus is the one. He came to this earth as a baby. And I was talking to Jim the other day about, why do you think God sent so many angels and so much stuff around? And I had this wee picture that he was actually worried about his baby. He was sending his son, his precious son. So it was like he put the angels there to acclaim him, but also to protect him. Yeah, this was his greatest gift, his greatest amazing miracle that was ever going to happen. It was his baby, and it was unprotected. So of course the angels were always going to be around protecting him. The same was there around us too. And that's what he did. That's his love for us, was to send us Jesus. And then this childbirth of a man, and in his death, he removed the destructive situation that was between us, his children. So therefore, through our Father's gift of his Son and through the Father's response of accepting Jesus, we can now have a family relationship with God. The restoration of his kingdom offers when we offer our lives, our worlds, and trust to him and face him. Jesus is the way. the truth, and the light. His death creates in us a longing to repent and trust in him. I do want to be part of this family of God. I want to call him Daddy. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus and the Father, please come and talk to us. Please don't ever let walk out of this room knowing that you have the opportunity to come to know him. We'd love to pray with you about it. John Stott wrote in his first statement on the Lord's Prayer, his first passage, Our Father in Heaven. John Stott wrote, in the words of the Apostle Paul, when we cry, Abba Father, the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are indeed God's children. Are we God's children? Amen to that? We are granted a strong assurance of his fatherhood and love. He lifts the light of his face upon us and gives us his peace. He refreshes our souls. You know, like yesterday, driving around the round paddock, you know, okay, all of us do this time of year, what we're ever doing. We feel your souls refreshed by him, don't we? The Father God, as you go around the round. He satisfies our hunger, he quenches our thirst. We know we are no longer orphans, for the Father has adopted us. No prodigals, for we've been forgiven. No longer arrogant, we can come home. I want you to take a few minutes now to reflect on what God as Father means to you. And then I'm going to say two statements I want you to repeat after me. So let's take a few minutes now and just a little sermon, stop, reflect on what God as Father means. Respond after me. My Father in Heaven.
My Father in Heaven.
I love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my heart.
I love you with all my mind.
I love you with all my mind.
I love you with all my strength.
I love you with all my strength.
And I love you with all my soul.
I love you with all my soul.
When I had over the ministry time that the Lord's been leading me into, I've come across people that have problems understanding the Father of God because their father image or hurts or relationship has not been good. And if there's people in this church today that feel that your picture of your father, now that's how you see God, then please come and be prayed for them. Don't stay at that point. Because all of us, and I've worked through this and still working through, we have pictures that are limited of God the Father because of my father and my parents. So please come and pray for that afterwards if you'd like to. Don't stay in a mould of God as such. Our Father in Heaven. Part of the sermon, Our Father. If we have the same family, sorry guys, same father, we're family. That's who we are. That's why I'm here, we're a family. So you love with me?
That's good.
He absolutely adores you. And I've really felt so much, so many times in this church, how much he adores each one of you. And so we are a family, you know. And so what comes first in a family? Is it relating to each other or is it relating to our father? Because I think so often in a church we're actually trying to make it work as a church first, but really the priority should be to relate to him first. Because when we relate to him, we do actually get his eyes to see each other. The first commandment, which I preached a little while ago, was love your father. The second commandment was love each other. The Lord's Prayer repeats the same pattern. Our Father in Heaven, holy is your name, before we present our needs and our relationships. I believe we cannot love each other and be a family unless we all have a father-child relationship with God. We need to see his nature, shown through Jesus, and available to each of us if we open our hearts to Him and receive the Spirit of God. Do you know what is so amazing is that we can have the nature of God. It is promised to us. The nature of God, the Father, and His Son are, His nature is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we've been promised all this as the fruits of the Spirit, but they are His nature. God our Father is good. He is kind. He is faithful. He is so patient. And He's so loving. And all these are available to us through. The Father calls them His fruits, which they'll never stop growing. And He'll never stop growing them and develop His Father nature within us. As we open our hearts and love Him first. Having His nature and growing it through our relationship with the Father, Son and Spirit, we start to see ourselves and each other as He sees us. Waikeka Methodist Church, you are adored. You are forgiven. You're cared for by a good and kind Father. He's done all that for us. That's the same Father, and as we adore Him, that's how we'll see each other. We're going to grow in love, kindness, patience, goodness, self-control, joy towards each family member. May we encourage each other as beloved by Heavenly Father. There are no have or have-nots, no family favourites, no age distinctions. It's all rubbish. It's all garbage. We have the same loving kindness from the same loving Father. This is who is our truth in this church. He is our Father. Yesterday, today, and forever, He is our Father. Let's respond to Him. My Father in heaven, I love you with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul. Our Father in heaven.
Our Father in heaven.
Grow your God nature and fruit within us. So that we can love each other as we are loved by you.
So that we can love each other as we are loved by you.
Love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. For you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad.
Quite a thing, isn't it, to just realise who God is and now that knowledge to impact on each one of our lives again. And we think we can have it all sorted in our minds often, but we need to be reminded regularly of it, just how much God really does love each one of us individually. And that it's not just, God just doesn't see the world as a whole. He sees us as individuals, and he relates to each one of us on that level as well. So let's join together in singing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, come.
those angels singing on the side of the hill to announce Christ's birth to the shepherds. And no wonder the shepherds wanted to go and to just see this wondrous child because of the joy that was expressed by those angels. Father, we thank you that we can express that and feel that joy today of you coming and announcing your birth, your new life to each one of us. And thank you for that. We thank you that you're our Father. Now we ask that your grace and your love and your peace will go with each one of us into this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.